6000 for 10,000.
270, climb to 12,000, South 1063.
No, and that's the thing that drives me nuts. And like, I know that there's people out there that I don't agree with, that said that I have agreed with a lot in the past, that basically have said things like, well, people who advocate tanking are losers. A loser mentality. And I understand why people say that. At the same time, it's very simplistic.
Yeah.
It's about doing something or engaging and trying to go in a direction. I don't want, again, there's no real tanking, but it's about understanding that, listen, this team needs a top five pick, multiple top five picks, top eight picks, whatever the case is. You need more than just Michkov. And the idea of going through a season like we just went through, and it's the opposite where you go, this team is great. I'm so proud of this team. They had no idea. They made it all the way to 82 games of meaningful hockey. Oh, these players did so well. Oh, I love everything about it. And it's like, you know what? You're cheering for a team that tries hard. That's the benchmark. A team that tries hard and is competitive, but still fails to make a 16-team postseason. That's your victory. Mm-hmm. To me, that is just as much, if not more, of a loser mentality.
Yeah, that's so well said, man. I think truly so as
is.
Well.
It truly is. Like, if you listen, I'm all for you can't advocate losing games and whatever for competitive reasons. That's a loser mentality. Fine, you want to say that? Trying your ass off and still failing to make the playoffs is also a loser fucking mentality, and being proud of it. Being proud of it. I got a D minus. I'm fucking amazing. Oh, what a great report card I'm bringing home. That's a loser mentality. It is.
Yeah. And then also not being willing to make those big swing trades. You can take the whole tanking thing and even put it aside and, you know, say, all right, well, just concede that, you know, the non-tag don't lose, but then make the big swing trades, trade guys like Travis Konecny, figure out ways to bring in serious first line players. And if you're still against that, cause that's not tanking. This is just taking risks via trade.
Yeah.
And if you're still against that, then you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Then you're the one that is stupid, you know?
Like, yeah, and that it's the same people. We can't sit here and tank for Bedard. We're too proud. And meanwhile, I'm like, okay, well, then let's trade for Zegras. They go, no, we can't trade for Zegras. And I'm like, you can't fucking ignore both. Like, there needs to be some path of being successful forward here. And nobody wants to do any of that shit, including the front office staff.
I mean, I just think it's just a very, and like a lot of the guys that are on the radio that will talk about the Flyers very rarely, but when they do, is they have that kind of just super simplistic, hey, how many games did they win this season? Okay, then that's the only thing we're looking at. It's just no understanding of where it goes from there, what's going on a deep level, nothing. It's, oh, they're a playoff bubble team this year. Okay, they must be headed in the right direction because that's where they finished. Well, if you look at it deeper, they were fucking actually 12th from the bottom of the league, which is nothing to write home about. And they're in year one of a rebuild. So what does that entail? What are the other things that entails that they should be doing aside from simply looking at where they finish in the standings compared to the year prior? And there's a lot of people that just they think on this just super simplistic level, and have no ability to kind of get in the weeds like we do on a lot of these shows and try to figure out, okay, well, what does this mean? What's the extra layer here? How do we forecast that out a couple of years? What does that look like? And I think that's where, you know, the better analysis comes in. And unfortunately, yeah, there's just too many fucking morons, man. Just absolute idiots. And that's just the way that they operate and how they look at this stuff.
Yep.
It's weird, though, because a lot of those people are fans from the Legion of Doom era and even earlier.
Yeah.
Where, yes, tanking would have been frowned upon, for sure. But what also would have been frowned upon is Eric Lindros-led team freaking finishing 12th
yeah.
last.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
And like,
that never happens, ever, other than his first year when he was here, when they were rebuilding, when he was a rookie.
Yeah. And also, like, that's a good point, Manny. And also all those folks from that era too, like, it wasn't just Lindros. Like, how did John LeClair get here? Like, there were major shakeup trades, like massive trades that brought in guys like John LeClair and Eric Desjardins and, you know, and other guys like that. And then even as the years went on, the Keith Primos and the Roenicks and so on and so forth. I mean, big time trades happened to create those teams. And if you want to take your whole tanking stuff and we don't want to draft high, okay, fine. I disagree with it, but even if you go that route, you still have to admit that the teams need to do big time trades and take serious risks when it comes to that in that department.
This is a fascinating topic that we could just keep peeling layers off of this onion. Mm-hmm. So, like, tanking is irresponsible. And by the way, there's no guarantee that you get the first overall pick, right? Because it's percentages. People were jerking themselves silly when the Flyers had an 80%, 88% chance of making the playoffs.
Sure.
and then at the same time, okay, so you can't lose or you can't put forward a substandard product, even if you're not intentionally trying to get there. But, like, you can't tell me the Sharks aren't eyeing Celebrini. He's a guy that was affiliated with a junior Sharks system of some kind, right? In minor hockey.
I think so.
So they've identified that this is the guy and they want him. You can't tell me it's a coincidence that they're complete ass this year. And they purposely, look, Erik Karlsson, see ya. They're trading off Hurdle, see ya, out. Even, and it, granted, I didn't agree with what they got in that trade, but still, at the same time, it's too much of a risk to even be in the conversation to get a Connor Bedard, which I find hilarious. Okay, so you don't get him. Oh, well, you get Leo Carlson. Oh, well, you got Adam Fantilli. Wow. Like, again, it is what it is. Potato, potato. But then you go, like, Dan, to your point. So you advocate a let's go after Trevor Zegras. No, that's risky. You can't do that. You don't know. That's not a torts player. Oh, come on. That guy can't play defense.
He only has 50 points. Meanwhile, we're fucking jerk off Owen Tippett for the same thing.
It's absolutely, it's a complete fallacy. This whole thing, it's all about risk tolerance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all about risk. It's all about taking a step and taking a swing. One way, whether it's through the draft or another way through trade or getting a free agent. And yet somehow there's people out there that they can talk all they want about being anti-tank or being full believers in what Danny Breer is doing or not or whatever, but yet they don't actually advocate anything other than let's keep all these guys yep. and let's bring it back again next year because they're homegrown guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's dumb.
It's insane. And it's just a lot of these people, I don't know if they ever, how they function in life in terms of evaluating risk management. You know, I work in risk management for a job, and you know, I don't know what these people are thinking. Like, how close-minded can you be when it comes to understanding how teams build, and that if you're looking for guarantees and that's your threshold, then everything that you stand for is actually even less of a guarantee. Like the percentages of what you're advocating are far less likely to lead to anything winning than what we are advocating for in terms of doing things the way that successful teams in the league normally do them. And it's just so bizarre. But of course you can't say that because their minds cannot understand anything more than just what's right in front of them or whatever the Flyers are saying. Yeah. So it's a losing battle because you can't, like, they never developed outside of that, you know, fourth or fifth grade mentality and just, I don't know, just no ability to analyze or evaluate.
It's a big reason why I don't argue with people on Twitter anymore. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
There's no argument to be had. It's just, well, Breer said this. This team's doing this. Konechny did this. And it's like, I don't care. I don't care. Like, if you don't have the capacity to think more, put any kind of objective thought into this team and the way it goes about, they handle themselves and covering it. It's just like, fuck, I don't have any interest in arguing with people on Twitter anymore. People used to come with good arguments.
Yeah.
They were stupid, but I could at least argue with them. Now it's just like, fuck, I just mute them and move on with my life because I don't have time for the sheer godforsaken tribalism that goes on around here.
It is ugly like that. Like before, like when we got started, it was the whole analytics thing.
Yep.
And you're either eye test or you're a nerd looking at a chart. And then at least you could argue back and forth with people, and at least the nerds would use stats and numbers to try to get the upper hand. But it's like now it's like, well, Breer said that this is going to happen. And it's like, that's not really an argument. That's just you worshiping at the altar and just sipping, you know, the Kool-Aid. That's not really an argument. Like, just look at what he did and what he hasn't done. Like, make up your own mind. Has he done good things? Yes. Has he also done things where you go, I'm not sure what he's doing here? Yeah. Both are fair. Probably not one extreme or the other.
No.
It's probably a little bit of both.
Yep.
And that's the whole thing with the tank versus not tank. Or building through the draft and not. And it's like, it would be like somebody saying, my life dream, I've always wanted to go to Paris. Have you guys been to Paris?
No.
I've been to the airport once.
I would love to go to Paris. It's my life's dream. And then, well, why don't you buy a fucking plane ticket and fly there? No, I can't. Because, you know, the plane could crash. There's a chance that the plane could crash.
There's no guarantees you get there.
Yeah. So I can't do it. I'm not going to go. Okay, so then take a boat. Take a boat and go from North America and go into Europe. Well, no, because the boat could take on water and sink. And fuck, I can't swim. I can't do that. No,
that's a great analogy.
No, I can't. If I could drive there, you know, maybe I could drive there. But, you know, but now I can't because there's no highway connecting the United States or Canada to Paris. So I can't drive there. So now I can't go to Paris. I'm going to have to go and watch videos of it on TV and be happy with that. Mm-hmm.
That's the risk assessment.
Yeah.
Level of that is a great comparison to show, like, metaphor of what the risk analysis is with a lot of these folks.
Rick Steves' guide to the Philadelphia Flyers. He's gonna come out with a book.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. Here are the places that you can go to eat inside the Wells Fargo Center. Oh, here's the $20 milkshake. I give it 2 stars. It made me shit my pants fucking on the way home. Stuck in traffic on the interstate. Here's the Billy Beano store. Avoid at all costs. Everything's overpriced. It's probably made by child labor. We don't know. Who knows? It's probably little children sewing mittens in those stupid hats. And they're charging $200. I don't know how those people sleep at night. I don't get these fashion people, how they can charge money like this. It's crazy.
We're just completely off the rails now.
Yeah.
Fashion! Child labor! That's what the Flyers are doing to us. They're tearing us apart! We're focusing on fashion and child labor because they won't trade for Trevor Zegras! How do you sleep at night, Danny Breer?
Yeah. And then half a Flyer Twitter be like, it's all John Tortorella. He's responsible for all the child labor in the world. He yelled at somebody.
God.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Fucking John Tortorella. After that 8-game losing streak, and then when they beat the Rangers on Thursday, I woke up on Friday and checked Twitter, and the first thing I see is, see? They didn't give up on it. This culture's still great. It's amazing. I'm just like, I fucking can't. I can't take these people anymore. Ugh. They will just swing from his nutsack till the bitter end.
There's nothing that the organization can do that would be wrong.
Nope.
It's an excuse at every turn. There's justification at every turn. I mean, it's exhausting. And yeah, like, what are you guys talking about, you know, at this point? It's just like,
I can't take it.
I can't take it either.
Take Flyers Twitter anymore.
When do people, like, listen, eventually it's going to happen. It happened to Hextall. It happened to Fletcher. At what point do people turn the switch on Danny? Because he's already in his press conference downplaying and saying, like, oh, I don't know if I expect to make the playoffs next year. He's doing that on purpose because he wants to downgrade. The fans' expectations now are sky high.
Yeah.
It's playoffs or bust.
Yeah, he commented on that. Yeah.
Right? And, like, if this team makes the playoffs, he looks great. And if they would have made the playoffs this year, he would have looked like $1 million, even though it had nothing to do with the rebuild. It was, they wanted this to happen for experience reasons, for culture reasons. If they miss the playoffs by 5 points next year, 6 points, he can turn and say to people, and people on Twitter will say, well, he said that this was going to happen. He said that he expected them not to make the rebuild is still on, and the plan is still in place.
Rebuilding isn't linear.
It's not linear. If this team gets brought back in its entirety or whatever, or they skirt around the edges and they do window dressing and bring in other shitheads for no reason, and this team now next year just goes back to being a bottom 5-8 team again, how bad now does Danny Briere look?
Next year or 2 years from now?
Is he trying this high wire balancing act and trying to be everything to everyone to the point where it bites him? If not next year, then maybe the year after.
I think he's got a while. I think he's got at least through Michkov, because that's always, oh, well, once Michkov comes, it's going to change and we're going to all this stuff. And I think he's got 4 or 5 years here with the majority of the fan base sucking on it.
There are people to this day that still think Ron Hextall is a good GM that I come across with semi-regularity. You know, ask me this question again in July after we know what they do officially in the summer. But if they don't do much, if this team is primarily kept together and they miss the playoffs again next year, I think there may be some people that start to question it. But on the whole, I don't think there's any legitimate pressure on the guy. And I think Mike is right. I don't think anything happens until Michkov shows up, which is, you know, 2 fucking years from now. By the time his first full season is done, is 2027. You know, we're years away from a full on, you know, Chuck Fletcher esque mutiny with Briere. I just think people are way too fucking invested in Briere and Tortorella, and, you know, if they have an ugly season next year, like if they're progressively worse than they were, you know, maybe you see some eyes open up a little bit. But on the whole, I think the Lapdogs will remain Lapdogs for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
So I'll agree with that. I think maybe Torts gets more scrutiny than Danny does if that happens.
He'll be the first one to take the bullet before they turn on Briere.
I think, Mike, you set it up nicely, is that everything's been setting up to Michkov, and he's got till Michkov. If Michkov comes over, though, and they don't make the playoffs, then I could see people going, what the fuck have you been waiting here for?
And it's the fucking, and it's the same people that are just fucking stupid with how they interpret this team and assess the team. Because, like, the whole thing is like, oh, well, if they're not making the playoffs, then they're not doing something right. And it's like, no, like, when you rebuild, there are other things going on that isn't just where you finish at the end of the season. There's so many other layers to this. And and the same idiots that think that this team is the best team ever this season, and they've checked all the culture boxes and they're heading in the right direction and resounding success and all that shit. Then if they don't make the playoffs later, or they take a step back, that's all they're looking at. It's like, oh, well, there's something wrong with the team. They're not doing, it's like, well, there may not be anything wrong. Maybe they traded fucking, you know, TK for the next 1C or something like that. But like, there's no ability to see more than a year in advance. So yeah, on one hand, I think it's most likely that the Lapdogs remain the Lapdogs and that Briere has years of a free pass. But I also think that the Lapdogs are so stupid, they don't know what to think. So then it's like, oh, well, if we don't make the playoffs and we almost made it last year, then the team's going in the wrong direction. So they don't even understand the proper rebuild stuff. So it's like, I'm not sure at the end of the day where these idiots are going to lie because they're so stupid. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I don't think you're in. We're not going to see the majority of people turn on Briere anytime soon. So just got to deal with it for 5 years.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty long road with it. I mean, they kind of set this up really well. I mean, they're taking advantage of two very messy and unsuccessful regimes in Textall and Fletcher. And I think that there's kind of this big exhale of like, okay, you know, well, we're finally starting this new chapter now with Briere. And there's going to be a very, very long leash because of that. I don't think that there should be, but that's kind of the way that people are going about it.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll just have to see kind of what they do. And it sucks because there's so much time. I mean, we're talking at this point.
10 weeks, I think, until the draft.
Yeah, the entire NHL weeks. Playoffs have to conclude, which takes like months.
Yeah.
So what do you guys say after another summer of inactivity or underwhelming signings, do we become a Utah Blizzard podcast?
Yes.
Is that what, that's one of the names they filed the trademark
the Fury.
For? The Venom, the Utah Venom. So there's obviously going to be a snake theme.
They should just be the Coyotes.
Yeah, may as well.
I'd prefer that. I think it sucks that they can't have a fucking team in Arizona. Like, why can't they get their shit together? It's like a huge, it's like a highly populated area that should have sports teams. Like, what the fuck is wrong with them?
Because that owner is a goddamn idiot skis nuts.
But that idiot skis ball just got paid $1.2 billion for a fucking franchise that is not worth that. And it
they're
just
going
to keep him quiet and to keep him out of the courts and to make this the least messy possible just so that they can give this other billionaire that fucking And that guy, as shitty and as slimy and as scuzzy as he is, that what's his name? The Phoenix guy?
Marullo.
Yeah.
As scuzzy as that guy is, he just fucking went to the bank and got $1.2 billion for being a complete imbecile. In running that team, promising, oh yeah, we're gonna move to Glendale, and then that failed, and then they had to move, and then they went, oh yeah, don't worry, we're gonna go somewhere else. Oh yeah, we're gonna go get this, and then that fails, and then they go, oh, we're gonna go to Mullet Arena, and then that fails, and it's like, dude, how many times? Like, can you not either build an arena, like just go and tell the Phoenix Suns, we will pay you rent. We need to be in the city of Phoenix. That's it. That's all there is to it. We're going to pay for the air conditioning, the freezing technology, all that stuff. Like, we got to be partners here. That's it. Uh-huh. It's all you can do. And now it's like, I screwed everything up. I had numerous opportunities. And my reward for that was Ryan Johansson and Denis Gurianov. Just kidding. It's $1.2 billion.
I just don't see and that's a good point. How are you going to succeed if you can't succeed in a market, you know, Phoenix, which is how many magnitudes larger than Salt Lake City, which I think it's cool there's a team there, but I just don't, you know, see from a scale perspective, if you couldn't be successful, you know, with a population like Phoenix has, how are you going to be successful with a population that is so small? In Salt Lake City. Like, it's just
Phoenix's population is 1.64 million. Salt Lake City's population is 204,000.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's insane. I would not have guessed that. I would have thought at least a half a million. Like, they had an NBA team.
The entire population of Utah is just 3.3 mil.
So they're betting that people are going to be driving all over Utah to go watch hockey?
Yeah, right.
Apparently.
Drive 6.5 hours. I just don't see how you're going to be successful there in that market if you couldn't be successful in a market as robust as Phoenix. Those mechanics don't make sense to me.
Well, they sold, 6,000 season tickets in, two hours or whatever?
Something like that. Yeah, it's true.
And it's meanwhile, when Winnipeg is dying for a team, they're like, well, you better sign, get 15,000 season tickets, and then we'll talk, and an arena, and then we'll talk. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. this guy just like, well, I got the team already, and here, tickets. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, we sold 6,000 of them. Awesome. This is great. Mm-hmm. It's like the rules always change with these guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently they can bring a team back to Arizona and within 5 years if they get an arena, but it would be with the same fucking owner, so I can't imagine it's happening.
No, and there's no way that guy even wants that team.
No.
He wants his money, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna sink $700 million into a new expansion franchise, or $1 billion, or whatever it is, and somehow get a new arena built?
Yeah.
Right. The state's gonna pay for that? No way. Dreaming.
Yeah, I think the Coyotes are done. It's too bad. They're the best jerseys in the fucking league.
I know.
It is weird. They did have a lot of good NHL players go through there. It's just the last, especially the last 8 to 10 years or so, have just been a death clock on that franchise where everybody's expecting it to leave. And they somehow managed to stick around.
I never expected them to leave. There were always the rumors they're going to leave, and I'm like, they can survive fucking anything.
They've been through way worse.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, just kidding, we're yeeting them to Salt Lake. Yeah, I mean, hell, if that team gets proper management and whatnot, they've got more picks and prospects, and they know what the fuck to do with. You put that team on a good franchise and can build something there and make it with proper, ownership and leadership, and they could be something. And then if you were to put a team back in Arizona, they get a goddamn expansion draft, which means they would be significantly better than everything. They were the first point. Could theoretically, if they go down
that
route,
the Flyers.
It could
the
work
Flyers
out.
Move to Salt Lake.
Yeah, move Philadelphia somewhere. Move them back to Hartford, and then we get an expansion team in a few years. I'll take a few years off and then get a good team when they show up.
That's the only way to get rid of Scott Laughton, Travis Sanheim, and Sean Couturier.
Sean Couturier, yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely rather have an expansion team. I mean, we've said this for years, I think, about this team. When Seattle was coming up a few years ago, we mentioned this as well. I would rather start over with a completely clean slate. This team has worked themselves into so much stupid bullshit on their own volition that, why not? Fuck it. There's nothing here. There's nothing here that's that special. There's some little gems here and there, I guess, but I don't know. Roll the dice.
The Philadelphia expansion franchise becomes the first team in NHL history to give a no move clause to a rookie on his ELC.
An ELC NMC.
Yeah. You're making $925, the maximum, and we're going to give you a no trade clause. No move. We cannot send you down to Lehigh Valley. Nice. Only the Flyers would do something like that.
That's true.
Yeah, would you? All right, here's another thing. So let's say it's an expansion team, but they're not going to be the Flyers. So the Flyers take logo and colors and everything, and the whole thing moves. And then we have to start from scratch, not only from a roster standpoint, but from a new team name and all that sort of stuff.
What would the team name be? Is that
you're
asking?
We'd have a whole new thing. Yeah. Or just would you accept that it wouldn't be called the Flyers anymore? They'd be Philadelphia of whatever.
The Fury. because it fucking boils your blood to the point that like that they enrage you.
Furious.
Some of the things that they do.
High blood pressures. What was the WHO, the Blazers? Bring the Blazers back.
Oh, the Blazers. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
I would do that. They were red. Well, they had like Calgary's colors, weren't they? They red and red and yellow or something? Which you can get away with. It's possible to get away with that Eastern Conference team.
I'm surprised the Flyers haven't done like a third jersey or something to kind of cash in and commemorate. You know, oh, the Blazers. We're going to be wearing the Blazers uniforms this time. I'm surprised that they haven't done that. They must not own the rights or whatever
to do that.
They probably
don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were never the same team or under the same ownership, I don't think.
No, it's got to be somebody different. They were a rival, weren't they?
Yeah, I'm trying to think in that Flyers in Full Spectrum gets into this, that Jay Greenberg book that I had read like 10
were they
years
in the
ago.
WHA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, they played at the Civic Center.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Civic Center.
So that's probably why. In that deal between when the WHA folded, the other teams like Winnipeg, Quebec Nordiques, Edmonton Oilers, they all merged and joined with the NHL. And then the other teams were like folded and they were like, screw you. You never will exist again. So there's like that bad blood between the NHL and the WHA from back in the day, which for crying out loud, that's like 60 years ago, man, or 50 years ago. Like, get over it. Get somebody else in there.
The Blazers were sold to Jim Pattison after one season and moved to Vancouver. Jim Pattison is a Canadian business investor based in Vancouver. He holds the position of CEO, chairman, and sole owner of Jim Pattison Group, Canada's second largest privately held company with more than 45,000 employees.
I've never heard of this company before.
Group is active in 25 divisions, according to Forbes, including packing, food, and forestry products.
Wow.
So I would assume Jim Pattison probably still owns. Maybe nobody owns his stuff. I would need to. It's a good question. Worth a couple deep dive here.
The other day, did you guys see Scott Hartnell's hair?
Yeah, I saw him last game of the season.
Did NBC Sports Philadelphia, like, I know that lots of companies are doing cutbacks and stuff. Can they not afford a hairbrush? Or some gel.
He thinks
like,
he's like
his hair
16
was
years
all
old.
Over the place. And it was like, dude, what are you doing? You're on TV. People are looking at you. Like, Jesus.
Oh, fucking pathetic. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, Ashlyn Sullivan's looking at him, and it's like she's doing what she can to like not break out laughing. And it's like Al Morganti's sitting there. And it's like Al wouldn't say anything because, you know, he's classy and he's not one to talk. It's just like, ugh.
His hair is representative of the type of analysis he provides.
I know. It's like, did you stick a fork in the electrical outlet? Is that why your hair is like that? Like, come on, man. Yeah, I've been the last like 2 months or so, I won't even watch the Philadelphia feed. Those games against the Rangers, I'm watching the MSG feed. Yeah. Sam Rosen is a classy,
Sam Rosen,
like
yeah.
really good. I like his play-by-play. You know, like I'm listening to everybody else. I'm like purposely like avoiding the Flyers one. Like anytime something happens, Brian Boucher's like, "Oh, that was a terrible call by the referee," and it's like, "Okay, Brian,
yeah, just like it's patronizing." Like the way that they do it is just patronizing. It's like, I can't. Yeah, I agree with you, Manny. It's yeah, like it's grating on me. I'm like, I know that this is the fucking right call. Like, stop telling me this.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, that's why. Like, I think it was an Islanders game, or I forget which game it was at the end of the season. But like they were even admitting, they're like, yeah, the referee screwed that up. I think it was that goal that the puck went into the air and then it went down and the whistle blew and it went into the net. It was the Washington game. And the Caps guys were like, yeah, that's a terrible call. Like, I know that that's our goal, but like, how do you miss that? Like, they were even like, how do you do that? Like, they were being honest and calling the game, which is what the job is. The job shouldn't be like, let's shamelessly self-promote our brand nonstop. Yeah. It's like, good God. Like,
I feel like they think that they have to, because it's like, oh, like, we know the team sucks, so we're going to try extra hard to make people think that they're good or we like them or something.
Yeah, like I was watching like a different game, and like Boosh and JJ were talking, and I'm staring at JJ, and I'm like, fuck, he looks like his face is made out of plastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he looks like he's had some work done.
I don't know. Yeah, it is weird.
Something like he looks like the camera lights, like he might melt. Like another 30 seconds, they might have to go and pan away because his face might just melt. And I'm like looking at him, I'm like, he looks like somebody. And like, do you remember that band Primus?
Yeah.
You remember they had like a music video where they were all like these puppets or whatever? And they were like,
vaguely.
Yeah. And like, I'm like, that kind of looks like JJ. He looks like a guy from Primus. Like, he's going to be talking about the big brown beaver and whatever.
God, yeah. Les Claypool. Yeah. I was supposed to see them in Atlantic City a few weeks ago, but I was sick. Anyway, yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, he does. JJ's looked the exact same forever.
Yeah.
It's just he has almost like fake facial hair. Little tiny little strips like.
Yeah, and maybe it was because Scott Hartnell like looked so disheveled, but it was like JJ looks like every hair like is meticulously placed, and like he's like the exact opposite, but just like his face, he looked like, it's like, dude, your face looks like plastic, man. Look like you went to the, you know, Dr. Pimple Popper or something, got some work done. But yeah, I don't know. It's shamelessly just over and over just promoting the team. And it's like, oh, just
call the game, everything they do is perfect. And yeah, it's really fucking annoying.
Somebody honestly, in October of 2020, under the name Sports Logos International LLC, applied for a trademark for the Philadelphia Blazers name and logo. Registration is intended to cover categories of hat, shirts, shoes, shorts, socks, hoodies, jackets, sports jerseys, sweat jackets, sweatpants, sweatshirts, so all kinds of merchandising. So somebody just applied for it a few years ago, but it was inactive for quite a while.
It's a mystery. Damn it, our idea, just like if we would have thought of this like a couple years ago, we could have been...
We could have owned the name of the Blazers.
Yeah. What would that deal look like? Like, imagine we owned that trademark of the Philadelphia Blazers, the logo and everything, the name. And then the Flyers come to you, Daniel Esch. And they go, Daniel, we need this. What's it going to take? I want Dan Hilferty on this show.
I will sell you
the truthful podcast. You guys tell the truth. You're the greatest podcast ever. You're a friend of the Philadelphia Flyers. We love you. You're the greatest. You tell it like it is. You're real Philadelphians. You're big fans of the Flyers, like me, Dan Hilferty.
I will sell them the trademark to the Philadelphia Blazers on the sole condition that you trade Travis Konecny the fuck off my hockey team. Then you can have whatever you want.
Mike, you're a lawyer. Can I get in trouble for saying I want to throw batteries at Cutter Gauthier? That piece of shit. I wouldn't cover that guy with my fucking health insurance. Fuck him. I hope he gets a fucking knee injury his first year and he's not covered. That prick.
That's pretty good.
What a fucking rabbit hole to fall down in the trademark of the Philadelphia Blazers in 2024.
Because we want an expansion team.
You know, I used to go to the Blazers games back in the day because I'm a true Philadelphian hockey fan. I used to go to games all the time. I used to skip class and I'd go down to the local rink and watch the guys play hockey. I loved it. Loved every second of it. It was great.
LLC is based in Nevada.
Who bought this?
I just found a wow. I didn't realize how the Briere said this during his press conference. This is terrible. This is from Meltzer. He posted like 8 hours ago. It just came up. Briere basically agreed that the team is no longer in addition by subtraction mode.
Yep. So said everybody's great.
Oh my God. I didn't know he said that. That is a
let's do a whole nother 4 hours.
I mean, that's really bad. How the fuck did you hear that?
I think Charlie O'Connor asked him and said something along the lines of, "You were doing subtractions last year. Do you foresee more subtractions?" And he's like, "No, not really." So it's like there goes that. Yeah.
Did they ever do so the addition by subtraction? What would that even constitute?
Kevin Hayes,
like Ivan Provorov and Hayes.
Provorov and Hayes. Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn.
Mike his hands on the temple.
That's so bad because those additions by subtractions were simply for coaching reasons due to I don't like this guy.
Yes.
But when you rebuild, you do addition by subtraction because your timelines don't work. And you need to be able to figure out a way to get more talented players by removing current players now. And like it's a totally different thing as to why they subtracted the other guys. Like you could be, you know, a playoff team and subtract guys for that same reason. Like it's not a rebuilding team does it for other reasons. What the fuck? Oh my God. That's brutal. Wow. I wish I would have known that we were recording more, but like that I think is egregious. If that's what he really means there, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. That gives me an even lesser opinion of the offseason, seeing that quote.
Yeah, I did not walk away from this presser.
Jesus.
In good spirits.
No longer in addition by subtraction mode. God, that is... What the fuck? You're in year one of a fucking rebuild. Nice. Well, you guys have a good weekend. Dan, enjoy the games, man. Hopefully they're not the last home ones you get for the season.
Yeah. At least they got some freaking talent back there now. Brink and Lexell and Natterjin and Kolasov. Apparently Peterson fucking shut him out tonight.
Cal.
God. Why are we playing Peterson when Kolasov is here now? I don't get it, but whatever.
Somebody DM'd me to ask you, how did Kolasov look in that first game? And I'm like, dude, they won in a shootout. It was 5-4, like whatever. It's his first game. Like, it's not like you can get in-depth scouting.
I had a lot of people ask me on Twitter when I was like, Kolasov won and he did this. I'm like, well, how did he look? I'm like, he was fine. I mean, he didn't do anything appallingly stupid, but it was,
he's a kid.
He allowed 2 power play goals, 1 penalty shot, and 1 6-on-5 there at the goalie pulled at the end. Like, it was just no even strength goals, so it was fine. He's small, though. He's listed at 6 foot, which I don't necessarily believe. I think he's a little shorter than that. It's when you have all this talk about Fedotov, who's 6'7", and goaltenders in general are typically, 6'3", 6'4", and this guy skates out, I'm like, God, he looks small. And I pull up the roster sheet, he's listed at 6 foot, I'm like, what?! That's unusual. But I haven't had a lot of people. How'd he look? I'm like, I don't know. It's one game, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's stud.
No, but that's the thing. Like there's people out there that will say, like, oh yeah, this guy's gonna be a Vezina finalist for sure after what I saw. And it's like, dude, Yeah, what like Elliot, the destroyer, Desnoyers.
What a fucking fall from grace. You guys said the Lehigh Valley Phantoms rookie goal scoring record last year. He went on a 41-game goalless drought this season. What the fuck? That is the only guy that took a step back this year, the young guys.
Probably got some shit going on in his life or something. I don't know. That's a big step back.
He's the only, I mean, Zade Wisdom, I mean, he just gets fucked by Ian LaPerriere. That's the one, that's the only... Desnoyers was the one who took a step back, even though he was given ample opportunity. Wisdom was the one that was held back by LaPerriere. But other than that, like, every other young guy's been handled well by Lappy. I really haven't had any major complaints on that front.
Nice.
I don't know.
That's good to hear.
He'll be replacing Tortorella one of these days. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's already set in stone.
God.
You fucker, LaPerriere, you took my job. My team, I love this team more than you do.
Do a whole another hour on LaPerriere jokes again.
We're gonna do a Rocky Thompson episode. God. Let's dig deep into him.
Oh my god, yeah, that fucker. Yeah,
well, we got a whole summer to worry about it. So
yeah,
cool. All right, guys, I'm gonna get to bed.
All right, boys, enjoy Yosemite.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Yeah. Have a good weekend. And
don't get eaten
you.
By a bear. I need you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try not to. I'll be texting you guys. Be like, shit.
Bring bear spray.
What do I do? What the fuck do I do? Yeah.
Bear spray.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, all right, guys.
Okay. All right. See you, Dancy.
All right.
Bye.
Good night.